I heard the voice of Jesus say, Come unto me and rest. Thy load of care thou mayest lay down and be no more distressed. Number 153, please. I'd like to welcome Brother Darren Greenhalgh to present us his discourse titled The Call and Cares of Life. Thank you, Brother Darren.
It's nice to start with a hymn. A hymn I wasn't sure if we all knew, but it came across very nice and the words are very lovely. The Call and the Cares of This Life. Today I would like to share some thoughts with you on the topic of God's gift of life, the call and the cares of this life. We understand the Christian has to appreciate our life and continually strive to do God's will, living for Jesus to the best of our ability. Life is indeed a treasure as we develop a relationship with our Master and also please our Heavenly Father. By looking to the scriptures, we find the theme of God calling people for a purpose. We will consider this and ask, are we making our calling and election sure? While reflecting on the cares of this life. Firstly, the gift of life. We have an abundance in our life through so many gifts. The breath of life is from God, our life giver. God's wisdom and perfection formed mankind in the beginning in Eden, seeing everything was good. The composition of the living soul, God's breath of life into the body which was formed out of the dust of the earth. The living blood sustained with the water of life and the bread or the food of life. We see a great design in our human life and order in creation. But the human life is a momentary or fleeting or transitory time here on earth, as we studied this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 40, 6 to 8 reads, "A voice says, 'Call out.' Then he answered, 'What shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever.'" Yes, the word of our God stands forever. What a wonderful promise. Also, James chapter 1 and verse 17 is nice to consider. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." May we have gratitude for life, for the life each of us has been given. In this frame of mind, we may consider God's greatness and love and grace toward us when we are lost in sin. The call. An important feature of God's plan is the call. Perhaps it may be a primary teaching to many. However, if we look at the way the Bible weaves the call from the Old Testament to New Testament, we find how important it is to us to receive God's love and mercy. Of course, Jesus called his disciples in a very literal way. The spoken word, "Follow me," is in Mark 1, if we read 14 to 20. "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' As he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" Verse 18 says, "Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him." End of the quote. Various methods are used to call people: the verbal, the written word, some events or miracles have formed the biblical heroes through messages or angels of God. In Psalms chapter 19, 7 to 11, it reads, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward." Very similar to our study this afternoon. The principles of God's call is that to serve, a call to a life of purpose, a call to change, a call to turn from sin to God. The prophets of old were called to be God's mouthpieces. The meaning of calling in Vine's dictionary gives the thought of invitation. Vine says, "It is used especially of God's invitation to man to accept the benefits of salvation." An example of calling or a vocation is in regard to an appointment to apostleship. We have references to the call of the gospel, his calling, the high calling, your calling, holy calling and heavenly calling. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 states, in one hope of your calling. If we consider the Apostle Paul, he was a specified character that God used. Romans 1 and 1 writes, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. In Acts chapter 9, it gives us his great conversion, perhaps the greatest in Scripture. Saul was a tyrant against the people of the way, followers of Jesus' way. As we know, the narrow way. He would have threats and action against any man or woman following in the character of our Lord and spreading the gospel. However, we know that his demeanour was miraculously reversed. In Acts chapter 9 and 15 it reads, But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Yes, Paul was a chosen instrument or vessel. In the experiences of Abraham, we observe he was called. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it reads, By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. God's ways are much higher than our ways, for we see that God's dealing with the faithful ones of old was to lead and point to the nation of Israel's dependency on God, and to point to the first advent of Christ, the Saviour and Redeemer of not only Israel but of all mankind, and to show forth his glory and to show forth his kingdom through the various promises and the prophecies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it is very helpful to help us on the subject of the call to the gospel age. Verse 1 and 2 starts, Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And verse 9 reads, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The church at Corinth has specific cases that Paul dealt with also. However, his lessons are to us all. And it continues in verse 20 and 21. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. We note that the worldly wisdom, perhaps the power of governments, wealthy ones, those in position in society, or today in fields of technology, theology, and the ones in prominent positions of power in political, financial, religious, and the civil world, are not necessarily clever in God's measurement. The call of the gospel age church is a mystery to the world. The apostle continues in verses 22 and 23. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. Now the gospel is still dispelled in much of today's circles. The Messiah is still a stumbling block as the Jews are looking forward and still foolishness to many today in our society. Let's read on, verse 24 and onwards, to see how precious Christ and the call is. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Paul then asks the followers to internalise and reflect on what God has personally done for us and for the body of believers. Verse 26 to 30. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are, strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What beautiful words in this passage. Indeed, we have these treasured words to find and lead us to the Lord God. By his doing, the whole call is made available. A wonderful invitation to follow our Master and to stand for Christ, to grow in humility and have love and unity. At the Corinth Church and today, we must keep Christ the foundation and be careful in building on any wrong or wayward foundations of man. The Spirit of God helps to appraise all things. To be humble and serving one another will sanctify us. The high calling is again a treasured invitation that we must continue to hold before our eyes. It is high because it is holy, heavenly, and in other words means an upward call. No other way is so high, just as God is very, very high. Isaiah tells us of God's grandness in chapter 40 and verse 22 and 26. And it reads, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." Verse 26, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing." What an almighty God we have. Keeping this in mind, we have to consider the call is by his doing. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 1, and the whole chapter as we've just discussed, in 1 Corinthians 3 and 23 it says, "And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." The gospel age church, or called out ones, are living for Christ. The calling is a high calling, as told in several other verses. We'll read 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Our daily walk is putting into place the instruction as to how we should conduct ourselves and please God increasingly through our life." The call is one of a rare opportunity, as many have not believed. Paul's letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8 and 9 says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." We are not to be attached to the earthly desires and pleasures of the world, but the spiritual. We are to set our mind on things above. In 2 Peter 1, it helps us to understand the growth in the Christian. Verses 3 and 4 reads, seeing that his divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Faith, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and finally, love are all the traits we need to make this calling election certain or sure. The cares of this life. I was interested in this phrase, the cares of this life, and it comes from Luke 21 and 34. The various translations offer similar meaning, and reading the Diglot, I found, but take heed of yourselves, lest your hearts be oppressed by gluttony and drunkenness and anxieties of life, and that day should not come unexpected upon you. The word for word says anxieties of life. Well, a New American Version has, be on guard so that your heart will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. So here we have the worries of life. What are these? We ask. The context of this verse is our Lord's great prophecy about the day and the great day of the Lord, especially regarding his return and the new dispensation of a new heaven and a new earth. We might say that the anxieties of life or the worries of life are so prevalent today among many. It's something that we need to be very careful. Our hearts, they are the seed of our emotions and thoughts, and they can be overwhelmed with the times we live in. It has been true, though, right through the age, from our Lord's words, however, today's society is becoming more broken down. So, what do we let to rest in our hearts? Certainly not worry or anxiety. If we take the primary or the most base and basic essentials, elements of life, what do we need? We need food, water, shelter, clothing. How the Lord provides abundantly our needs in this regard. We need to show God our thankfulness for these through prayer. Next, our lives are requiring particularly education, working time, family time, and perhaps caring time for others. We had some practical lessons this afternoon on the fruits of the Spirit and what we could do in regards to these. These two groups of needs and requests of life can take up a great amount of our time and energy, all of which is right and proper. A third group, what could fill our lives, could be our choices group. And this is where we find the cares and anxieties may come in. We may consider fitness, leisure, travel, gardening, entertainment, hobbies, clubs, various interests in technology, or the mod cons, how many we have today, adornments of the body, cars, homes. Where do we stop? The light choices may be never ending, but not a necessity or a request of life. Often too many choices are stressful for people and complicate, as with change. We see rapid changes around us in so many aspects of life, from the laws, the rules, commerce, and health. Technology, just consider the changes in technology, the times we're living in. Lower standards and morals in general have left no boundaries for a stable life or stable living. The adversary puts doubt into what choice or group we spend our time and energy toward. Is it God or others or us? Is it giving or taking in life? A few scriptures may help resolve the situation where, as we know, only so much can fit into our lives. The cares of this life, the anxieties, can so consume our time that we are not even watching and praying for the kingdom of God, but rather the position James explains in James 1, 9 to 11. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty and its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. We think of Solomon, don't we? Pursuits can cause anxiety. Materialism, our stature, our positions, our wealth. However, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So that day will not overtake us like a trap if we persevere till the end, consecrating our life, denying the flesh, the old man. In conclusion, we have a couple of verses that talk about God's gifts and grace and his antidote to anxiety. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards to the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to who belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Finally, Hebrews 12 and 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. May the Lord be with you.
Thank you, Darren. Sorry that you're seeing my face, folks. Brother Emmanuel's just had to step out. He just asked if Brother Darrell would close with a prayer, if that's okay. He's okay. He'll be back shortly.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon's beautiful session. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit, which are so important, which we see in your Son, our Lord Jesus. We talked about that beautiful passage in Peter, chapter 1, about our calling and about the precious blood that has redeemed us and will give us victory in the end. And also Brother Darren's talk about God's call for us to follow the narrow way. We're thankful for a wonderful day so far of precious thoughts. We pray that you will help us as we meditate upon those things that we have learned. There is still more that we can learn, but we have learned so much now and we're very grateful for that. We're thankful for your Spirit, which motivates us and helps us to look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So be with us now, watch over us, and be with all those who love you wherever they may be, not only in this country, but in other countries throughout this great world of ours. Those who love you, those of your children, be with them, watch over them and keep them safe. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.